So, wow.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So, hey, guess what? It's Rick and Brian. This is Dead Zone the Podcast.
It's Rick and Brian with Dead Zone the Podcast.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
The shortest cold open we've ever had.
Yeah, right? I think it's because at the time of the recording, we just finished playing a game.
We did.
We did Attacker Defender style, which plays different than Dead Zone for a lot of different reasons. So yeah. We didn't use victory points per se. We kept track. We kept track of the victory points for the potential use in some type of tournament or something. So you have that victory points to score with. But we did these objective markers for the signal. And you played the defenders.
Yes. And so for those folks that might have missed our little very brief,
it was like a minute and 3 seconds.
Yeah, our little live cast on Facebook. We had kind of come up with this scenario. It's one of our objectives for the
this year. Yep.
Is to kind of scour the
the webs, the other books,
the webs,
other games,
other games. This one comes to us kind of from inspired by Vanguard.
Inspired by Vanguard, with some Dead Zone tweaks to it.
Yeah, and so we gave a brief overview of it in that original little video, but to kind of come back to it, it's basically there is a defender who in this case was the clone trooper styled enforcers.
The enforcers, which just for the record, Brian doesn't play the enforcers.
This may have been the second time I've ever played enforcers. It shows a little bit, not gonna lie. But basically my objective was I kind of had to stand at the back. I had two towers that were kind of adjacent to my starting point that served as the objectives that Rick was trying to attack. And if he occupied them at the end of any round, he would win. But if I was able to defend those points for at least 4 rounds, then I would be the victor. And so it was, like you were saying, it was a little different than necessarily traditional Dead Zone maps in that the focus was less on scoring more victory points than your opponent as much as the objective is the end-all be-all win-loss scenario.
Yeah, so I'm playing the Plague and I have 25 extra points versus you.
Yep.
Yeah, 25 extra points. I played 175 of Plague. And yeah, my objective is to kill the signal. I had to have somebody in both of the cubes at the end of a round.
Mm-hmm.
Within four rounds. Which, Plague is a great one to play in an objective like this, because
a lot of movement.
We're 2-3s on a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very different strategy play-wise.
Yeah.
Like, for you, like, You didn't have to move a lot.
I shouldn't have moved
a lot. In theory. So unfortunately, like, we threw...
We due to time just laziness, you might say.
Yeah.
We both just kind of grabbed lists that we had handy. And for whatever reason, I went with a list that was heavy on assault enforcers.
Yep.
And... when a gun line might have been more appropriate.
Much more appropriate. Which is funny because it also brought up the point that if you look in the core rulebook in Dead Zone, you're supposed to pick the mission and then build your list. So this falls into one of those categories that would play great in a campaign setting.
Oh, yeah.
Because you would be going into this mission knowing that you're the attacker or knowing that you're defender. For us, we just rolled off.
Yeah.
and it just happened to be that the gun line, non-existent gun line, ended up being the defenders. So what do you think was your favorite part of playing this style?
My favorite part of playing this style is there is that slightly different mentality to it, like from a tactical standpoint. In the grand scheme, I just have to keep you off one of these things. I can let you take one and spend all sorts of resources to take one. And there's a huge gap between these two towers. We built them up so that there were three, and they were the only height three cubes in the entire board.
And we did that on purpose, too.
We did that on purpose. I mean,
it's kind of the challenge.
Yeah. And I thought it was really fitting, too. So, obviously, running assault enforcers...
with pistols.
With pistols. Range three pistols.
Did not help you.
Didn't help me very much. That said, Rick can attest, there was a lot of time spent with me just looking at what I got, looking what is coming at me, trying to make that judgment of, you know, do I pass around so that he can get in within range? Do I go out and meet him to try and slow him down, essentially? Because in the grand scheme, my guys maybe don't need to survive the scenario.
Yeah.
They just need to keep you from winning.
Which was interesting to see, because it was like you tried to do both.
I did.
Because like on the right side of the map, your guys are moving forward, except for your sniper. And then on the left side, they're all hanging back going, nope.
Yeah, nope.
We're just shooting.
Yeah. And, but no, like... I am really drawn to, as much as balanced play is very fun, I am inherently drawn to asymmetric play where one is the attacker, one's the defender, someone's got a little bit more, someone's got a little bit less, and there's
a lot of fun to be had with that.
Oh yeah, it's a blast.
You know, and I think part of this, like, it all played out well, great for us this month, because Daria had brought up on the Facebook groups about
friend of the show, Daria.
No, Queen.
Queen
of the show. About the randomness of the building and deployment areas and all those random factors, and this throws some of those random factors out.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because we built the scenery as a pseudo, you have a base wall and you have these towers that your signal's coming off.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we did do a lot of blocking and scatter terrain, but we kept it at a low level. So like right off the bat, a lot of my stuff was hidden.
Mm-hmm.
But there was still some shots that kind of screwed me up a bit. It was fun because like you used passing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
More than you usually do in your regular play.
Yeah.
For me, it was a lot. It was a lot because I had two guys that I knew that I could get up there.
Mm-hmm.
How do I keep them alive?
Yep.
My Territon and my Murderbirds.
Mm-hmm.
How do I keep those two models alive and get them to those spots in four rounds?
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, because of movement dice,
I
was able to do it.
You had
at the end of turn three.
A lot of great dice on your side of the table.
The command dice saved me a bunch.
Yeah.
And
my D8s did not help me much.
No. But it was funny because, so that was the end of round three. I was able to get up there and get it.
Mm-hmm.
But we played around with it and we're like, okay, so what would have happened if you'd killed my murder bird?
Mm-hmm.
And we go into round four.
Yeah.
And we played it out, and you rolled your command dice just like we would, and you rolled literally what you needed. You got an extra activation.
Yeah.
I mean, I had an army still on the board, and you had two guys.
Yeah.
But all you had to do was survive.
I just had to survive one more round, and...
And I had one ghoul that could have gotten to that,
mm-hmm.
and you had two guys that could have taken shots at him multiple times, because you had an extra activation, and a shoot, right?
I think it might have just been an extra dice as the third one.
Oh, but, extra dice.
But I mean,
have two potential shots.
Two potential shots. One guy's running an HMG.
And a guy that has no armor.
Yep.
So it's very potential that
it was
you could have easily killed him. And I had nobody that could have gotten up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, I could have teleported to that one from the other one, but then I still wouldn't have...
still have one tower
that's because empty. Even with a move dice, I couldn't have gotten my dog all the way to the top.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. So, it came down to that last move,
mm-hmm.
whether you were going to kill my murder birds or not. Yeah. Luckily, I had one wound left and was able to move him up there. I had a blast playing it.
It was
a lot of fun. And it's the whole... You have to think about it differently. Mm-hmm. This is not, okay, there are the objectives, but I can wipe you out. Because we didn't play with the victory point cap,
mm-hmm.
technically, I had to go for those objectives.
Yeah.
If I wanted to win, that was how I won.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't take the bait in the middle. I was kind of sad that you didn't shoot any of my zombies. I knew they weren't going to do anything, so I put them right out in the middle for you.
It crossed my mind to give you some credit. And you're, I won't lie, you're really good at setting up those things that, here is a sure shot that you can take this guy out. And he's a threat. Like, leaving him there is not a smart decision. But also, taking him out eats up resources.
Yes.
That...
Well, and that's a big way to play. When you have that attacker defender, you have to look at it from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when we were talking about this prior to going into this year's recordings and stuff, and it was mm-hmm. like, cool, this is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we've officially had that chance to play one of these missions... It was so much fun. It was a blast.
Uh-huh.
And it makes me stoked that we're going to be doing this all year.
Yeah.
We're going to have these games. And Brian's going to format them. not me. Because we want them to look good. and release them we'll have them on our podcast and we'll have them on Dead's on the Podcast on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And we did talk about it, and we're gonna look into it, but we're gonna try and potentially use the YouTube channel and maybe video some of this stuff because I think we need more videos.
We need more videos.
Dead Zone needs more videos, but at the same time, Star Saga and Dreadball need more videos.
This is also true.
So I think it's time we step up our game and did some video too.
Yep.
So I, in the back of my head, I've been thinking about doing some shorter podcasts for everybody, doing some top five favorite moments in Dead Zone, Star Saga, Dreadball.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I'm showing this out on the show now is because if you're interested in doing that and interested in getting on the podcast with us, give us a shout. Send us an email. Bug us on Facebook. Obviously, Brian and myself are... very active in woohoo rebs active in the channels to find out what's going on. And we'd love anybody that wants to jump on and tell us your top five favorite moments of these games.
Absolutely.
Would love to hear those because I know I personally have some.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Brian does.
When I finally won is the reps. It took a while, not gonna lie, guys.
Yeah, but then you turned around and started winning a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear it anymore.
And that was when it was just rebs. Second edition.
Yes. But yeah, man, that new stuff is crazy.
Oh yeah, it's good fun.
Hey, it's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0, this is stupid.
Those of you that paid attention to the channel may have noticed that we actually dropped an episode 112.5, which we did an interview with the one of the publishers from Wind Hazar Publishing. And
the author.
And the author of the new Dreadball novel, The Last Hurrah, which check out that episode. 4 o'clock
in the morning, man.
It was a little... Rick stayed up a little late that night.
Well, I felt bad because you'd already finished.
I finished the book a while
ago. Yeah, like 2 weeks, and I'm sitting here going, sending you a message. Hey, I finally got to chapter 6.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was on chapter 3 when you finished it, I think.
I think something so. Nuts I like think that. It was something like that.
And then, so I sent you a message, like, was it Friday?
Yeah.
I think it was Friday I sent it. I was like, hey, so I'm on chapter 12. And I'm feeling like, okay, I'm doing pretty good. I'm, like, I'm not that far away.
I'm like, sweet, you're halfway there.
Talk about killed my mood. I'm like, oh my God, I have so much more to read. So, yeah, Saturday night, I put it on audio.
Mm-hmm.
I found a PDF reader.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it was
not kinda, a bad way to do it.
It was kind of funny because it's like I'm listening to a Dreadball book in a robot
In a
voice.
Robot voice.
and there was a couple times that I backed it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because some of the events, like, you told me that there's this scene that we're going to have to build and play Dead Zone with.
Yeah.
When I got to that, I re-listened to it 3 times. Because it was so intense.
It's a great moment.
I loved it.
It's so good.
It was a really good book. But yeah, 4 o'clock in the morning. So, and then we recorded at 9.
And then we recorded at 9. So it was a late night for you. But we won't gush too much about that. The book is great.
It's worth a read, definitely.
Their interview was so much fun.
Those guys were awesome to talk to.
Yeah. So go check out that episode. Yes. We don't often plug
a previous episode, but we're now doing it.
But definitely go check that one out. It's a fun discussion that we have with those folks, and it's a great time.
Yeah.
But it does lead into a whole lot more ideas that came up for the show and for other things, as far as like prize support and
That kind of blew me away. It was like, yeah, we love the idea of surprise support. And we're like, huh?
So those of you that are trying to do doing a tournament scene that
tournaments,
listeners
yeah.
to the show or know Pathfinders that maybe sometimes struggle with coming up with prizes for their events and stuff, consider
reaching out to
the publisher, Windhazar Publishing, and because
obviously they also have some great books that just came out for Kings of War too.
Yep, there, and I think there's a new one for Armada specifically.
Yep.
The new naval battle game.
That'll be interesting to check out when it gets here.
Oh yeah, it's some really cool stuff going on.
There really is.
It's go check out that episode. Consider offering some of these novels and stuff as prizes. I think that would be a great idea.
It's a different type.
It's a different type of idea, and I think
a prize. And so you look. So a big thing that you notice is like when we have tournaments like Adepticon,
mm-hmm.
usually our prize support is other games for the game that the tournament is.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of models, but like Dreadball, this is a perfect type of prize support for Dreadball because you have players that play in these tournaments, like yourself,
mm-hmm.
Jeff Burbage, Crazy A,
uh-huh.
I guess myself now. I mean, I've got like 17 teams, and I don't know what I'm doing with them still. I really don't. But the Tron Tech 29ers are awesome.
They're great.
We have a lot of these teams. So from a prize point of perspective, you don't need necessarily more models.
Yeah.
But getting your hands on a novel in that universe, for me, that would be awesome.
I think that's something that the community in general, there's a lot of us out there that really crave and eat up new lore in any of these spaces. And, and like the book in particular, The Last Hurrah, does a great job of not only being about Dreadball, but also kind of the world.
The universe. Yeah. Some of the corporate obnoxiousness and revs.
Yeah, got revs.
Yeah.
I think there's Golden the Gamer's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
One of the big emphasis he's putting on is the lore behind some of the other characters. In fact, he just released another episode not too long ago, which is another, you know, recommend from our show. I'd say
definitely.
It's a really good one. He talks a lot about Mantic Terrain.
Oh my! And he's amazing when it comes to his scenery. I have a ton of scenery, but I'm not the great. I build the temple. Build this tower and this tower and build a little bit of it and a little bit of that and then that's it.
Stack it up and they hang in there.
He takes that idea of this very square scenery and makes some beautiful buildings that are able to separate into smaller buildings and go inside of them. And wow, it kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, yeah. The techniques that he talks about are really, really cool. And yeah. I'm a little sad that I'm running out of space for terrain where I live right now, because I still have a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
But I just storage is now becoming an issue. So, but definitely give his podcast a listen. He also talks about kind of speaking of the lore side of things. I think this topic's one was mutants.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so the first episode he recorded, he talked a lot about Forge Fathers. Stuff that I didn't even know.
And I read through that source book, and I was like, wait, I missed that. And I went and grabbed mine, and I'm like, wow, I'm rereading this chapter.
Yeah. Really, really great stuff and potential for the future.
Yeah.
And same kind of thing with mutants, where I won't steal his thunder. Yeah. It's a great discussion.
So going back to some of the Facebook Fanatic stuff because of that. So if Mantic was to release a new 2-player starter for Dead Zone, what 2 factions would you want in it, Brian?
Well, obviously I want the Rebs. And you know, whatever else you want in there, because I could take them all.
Jeez, how did I know you were going to say Rebs? But that was
probably pretty obvious to the listeners.
Yes, that was a pretty cool post that I saw on Facebook Fanatics. Just because, there is that. What are people looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that, like it was stated in the post, that the Enforcers are a mainstay for Mantic's Warpath universe.
Mm-hmm.
They really are.
Yeah.
They
look great. The models are
I love the Enforcers.
Really good.
I'm also really loving Vat Enforcer. Plague Enforcers. Or Plague amazing. They're that mainstay. They're that, you know, you're playing a sci-fi Mantic game when you see an Enforcer on the board.
Yeah.
Whether it's Dead Zone, whether it's Dreadball, because you have 2 MVPs?
Yes.
Well, or is it? No, there's 3, because there's one in Peacekeeper armor, there's one in Enforcer armor, and then there's the one Pathfinder, right?
Why do I keep thinking there's 2 in Peacekeeper armor? There's at least one.
That's okay, Jeff will correct us.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Jeff Burbage. Please correct him. We'll issue a correction. We won't, because we're lazy. But but feel free to comment and let us know that we were wrong. But there is at least 3.
Yeah. And then you go into Star Saga, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Monarch.
Yeah.
But then you go into Firefight and Warpath. They're right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they're the bad boys that the Council of Seven sends out.
Yeah. I love that, and we've talked about this previously, like with especially in respect to the lore. The best, like, as far as good guys and bad guys that we get, the Veermen are kind of the goodest that is just like,
leave us alone.
They're like neutral is the best. And most consistently, like, we just want a ride and it's cool, right?
Well, we want to tinker with some stuff.
Yeah, we might break your ship, but you know, that's life.
Yeah, but then you go into Star Saga, and not to spoil anything, but the Volt Chasers in there, let's face it, that's not neutral.
True.
Those Veermen are not neutral.
Well, and that's kind of the fun thing, too, with the lore, is like even the Nameless.
Yeah.
Like, the Nameless, when they got introduced, there was a big thing that the Nameless were this very neutral species that were just kind of wait and see. And then there was this kind of upstart faction of them that are like, hey.
And you know what? I think the website is still available.
Oh, the campaign?
From the campaign? Let me check that real quick.
We're going to check that real quick.
This would be a great place for us to insert one of those little clips from one of our friends. Just saying.
Yeah. A clip like...
That one was great! Oh my god, right? We're such dorks.
I could listen to that clip all the time. Every day.
You're hurting my head.
And hopefully we'll get a couple more as we go in, because I promise this with this new year of the show that we're looking forward to. We are going to be getting some more love spread out there through the rest of our friends in the podcasting and gaming community. We want to give shout outs to them, and hopefully, you know, they can return the favor. A lot of them have already been great supporters of the show. Counter Charge comes to mind. It's a fantastic podcast, mostly centered around Kings of War and Vanguard. And I imagine those guys are going to be jumping into Armada like crazy.
Yeah.
But they helped us a lot last year to kind of get things up and running on a technical level. And a lot of love there for their show.
I'm waiting. It's not loading.
Okay.
So it's on the blog, on Mantic's blog. They have the conclusion of the Dead Zone summer campaign.
Mm.
That's still something more you can read, because the way that was set up, you got a lot of extra.
There's a lot of lore that they dumped in there.
Yeah, which again,
which is great.
Yeah, anytime.
Mantic,
lore,
if you're listening, we listen
more
to
lore, more lore, more
lore. We had that idea in one of our previous podcasts, which was to just copy and paste things out of the lore book and put them up as blogs. We welcome you stealing that idea from us, because it's just good. Works for us. We love this stuff.
Which is, it's funny. So, spoiler alert from our interview, because it excited me.
Yeah.
The whole First Strike, re-releasing First Strike with more information in it.
Yeah.
And that being a trilogy. That super got me excited.
Yeah. So now go listen to that podcast.
Because it makes me want to read First Strike again.
Yeah.
Now I just got to figure out who I loaned it to.
I don't know. and
I know it was somebody.
Speaking of some of the lore books, I do want to mention, because this slipped completely under my radar. One of the other ebooks, the digital books that they have up on Mantic's site right now, is one called something Dossier. It's like the Dead Zone Dossiers. Now, my confusion about that was initially when we were just getting into Dead Zone. What they had is they had free PDFs on a lot of the factions.
Yeah.
That were called dossiers, because it was like, here's the Reb dossier, and it talks a little bit about, you know, just a little fluff on them. Turns out the ebook, it was about $8 US, is another anthology collection, just like the Containment Protocols. And there's like a good 8 stories in there. I should actually look it up so I have the number correct. It was not an insignificant amount, and it's available as an ebook. So, you know, it's not one that has a physical copy.
Yeah.
But definitely check it out. I like, as soon as I realized that, I ordered it myself. And
sweet.
And I'm going to start reading them in my free time. My copious free time.
Your large amounts of free time.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
This is Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian.
So, but you know what? Speaking of free time, you just posted, and I got the chance to play them tonight. You're Enforcers.
Yeah.
So, tell our listeners about your awesome Enforcers.
So, I'll be posting some pictures of them shortly here, included in the show notes. But my Enforcers, after much deliberation, I decided to paint them up as clone troopers from Star Wars. So it's a mostly white paint scheme.
They look so cool.
With the blue highlights, I modeled a lot of them after the 501st.
Yep.
Anakin Skywalker's elite unit. And modded up a couple of them to basically I've got Commander Cody as an enforcer captain. I've got the ARC trooper Jesse modded up as an enforcer sergeant, and it makes me very sad that enforcers can't dual pistols. They're like one of the few factions that can't do twin pistols.
Hey, Council of Seven Rules Committee, you guys should make dual pistols happen.
Just for fun. I mean, I just want it. No reason. But then I also decided to do the Peacekeeper Captain as a little homage to Darth Vader. And did a little extra creativity there to paint with the red of the glowing blade then, which was a lot of fun to do. But yeah, so I again, kind of going back to the whole thing we've talked about before on the show, which is like, where do you find painting inspirations? And so that, for me, was one of the really fun ones that I'm like, man, it'd be really cool to have these guys running around on the board. And just with a little paint, you can really kind of make them look like close enough to the clone troopers. Next up on my painting dockets, so this was the deliberation, because I think I mentioned on the show before.
Yeah.
Was that I was originally going to do my Forge Fathers as the clone troopers.
Yeah.
Because I had done...
And it flipped!
And it flipped! And I won't lie, the decision comes down to me just not wanting to have that discussion of like, why are Forge Fathers? They're the older of the two races. Shouldn't they be the Mandalorians? And what, you know, the Enforcers are all like, you know, genetically modified and super soldiers, and like, doesn't it make sense for them to be clones? I'm like, sure,
yeah, okay.
Done. The jetpacks was the only thing going for them, so, but I think this really worked out well. I'm really happy with how a lot of it came together. It was a great painting exercise.
Yeah.
To try some stuff out, because it was...
Well, yeah, because we talked about you were struggling with the white.
Yeah, the painting white is very tricky if you want to have contrast, but also like not have your models turn out gray by the end of it.
Yeah.
And so there's some extra fun techniques that I got to practice and learn and kind of go from there. So next up is probably to do my Forge Fathers as the Mandalorians, so... That'll be a really interesting one. I really want a Brocker Chief. But also, like, at least Star Wars these days, there's a big thing about not taking off your helmet.
Nope.
So I kind of want to cut the guy's head off and put a helmet on it. So we'll see how that experiment
goes.
See. Or maybe I'll just kind of do up a Brocker normal... Like a normal Brocker, that's a little easier to chop that head off and then put a helmet on him and count him as a...
Yeah, that would probably be easier.
A Brocker Chief. But anyway, so that's kind of on my docket. It's been really fun getting back into painting again. I'd taken a couple months off, which happens.
Well, yeah. So on another... I can't remember if it was on a podcast, a YouTube video, or a live stream, but there was some discussion on... Oh, duh. Hobby Knockout.
Hobby Knockout.
were just talking about
friends of the show, Hobby Knockout.
The whole painting overload, not necessarily overload, but like getting bogged down with it
and burnt out a little.
Burnt out and not having that inspiration to try something different. And I was kind of struggling with that too when I went and did the grayscale on my plague, which I had a blast painting those. For me, I've started to do some more chibi stuff, which is funny because I posted the one and it was somebody asked me, is that Ant-Man for Dead Zone? And it would be really fun to do Ant-Man, do the Avengers.
It would be pretty fun.
But because of the book and the interview and stuff we did, I started working on some Dreadball. I started working on my Z's because there's a nice Z team in there that they talk a little bit. So, and they're a white and yellow paint scheme, which here I go with the white. So we'll see how that turns out for me. I'm not sure what I'm going to do next. After I finish the Z's, I don't know if I'm going to go jump back into another list for Dead Zone. Because I think that's where I've gotten to that point where it's, I want to paint a list versus I'm going to paint them all.
Yeah.
Because I do, like, I have my Cobra Force for Enforcers. That's all set up and ready for Firefight and Warpath because there's a lot of Cobra up there.
Yeah.
Because So I went through that whole process and built everything out of the escalation book.
Yeah. There's a lot of models
over there. But I think I enjoy the idea of painting lists versus that. But then there's also an entire box of Star Saga that I should work on. Because there's a lot of inspiration you can get for how much is in there. Yes, there's Rebs in there. But you have the Volt Chasers. You have the Nameless. So I'll probably start working on some of that. One of those three.
One of those. So, yeah.
So what else do we got going on today?
Well, we touched on Dreadball already because we did the interview. And I know this episode has kind of been
a main focus on Dead Zone, and that's okay, because, Dead Zone rocks.
Yeah. It's nice to kind of start off that new, fresh year. Granted, we realize this is also, like, the end of 2020, if we're lucky. and it's not, December 31st, 1160, 1161, 1162.
No.
But no, this is... it's been an exciting time. I know another thing, like with the interview that we did and just other discussions that we talked about, we have a lot of crazy, cool ideas, such as using the Intel deck in a tournament.
Yes.
Which is something we're going to be kind of working out some guidelines on how that would work. The main premise that we're starting from is that the Intel deck can be completely like tertiary as far as the tournament goes. Like it won't impact your results of the game. So
more as a side,
an additional
benefit.
Yeah. The kind of concept that we have is in its starting stages, but the main thing is that this would not really impact a tournament for those competitive people. Like those that are, I'm here for the tournament, I want to win the tournament. That's awesome. Good on you. This would be kind of an additional thing that would basically give players another objective that they could play with the intent of tallying them up at the end and having a special prize for...
An Intel prize. Yep.
Which again is just, it's a fun way to give a little spark,
change
a little energy. And it would be completely voluntary. People that don't want to use the Intel deck at all.
No, don't have to.
Like I said, it wouldn't affect your game otherwise. But for those that really kind of want that little, hey, you know, I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
I want a little challenge on top of however challenging my opponent is.
Play the Intel deck is definitely a challenge.
Yeah. And so we're gonna be putting together some ideas on that, and we'll maybe roll out a little I don't know what it would kind of be, like some kind of little packet with instructions on how including to put it in that, your tournament. Yeah. But it's kind of interesting being at the end of 2020 when so much of the discussions that we've had throughout the year have been about playing the game in a little different way. And like we're working on here with coming up with some new, you know, set of maps and scenarios and things
new
like
scenarios,
that.
New scenarios, new ways to play the game, but still keep it Dead Zone.
Yeah.
Because we took out the objective markers for both players. Yes, we took out the fact that you don't need the victory points so much for the game.
They're not the emphasis.
But it's still, we didn't change the core concept of the game at all.
No. And there are,
and that's what matters.
Yeah, and there are those systems out there that people are really experimenting with in really cool ways, like the Dead Zone XL, and the close quarters.
The close quarter stuff that Daria is doing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all of that is really exciting, and we're looking forward to it. This is we felt it was kind of a fun addition to the Dead Zone space that's still very much Dead Zone. Not a lot to learn. On top of everything like that, it's just going to be, you know, these rules are in play, these rules are not, and have fun.
Oh my God! Speaking of rules not being involved, Scout, that hurt.
Yeah. So the mission. The other thing was that Scout was not in play, which hurt me too, because I was running
really
three
did.
Pathfinders in the grand scheme, and they were all kind of had to hang back, maybe more so than they needed to. But no. So we kind of glossed over a little bit of like painting and stuff that I was working on. You talked
a little bit about
the other games that you've been painting and doing stuff for. it's been a really fun time to be creative in this space.
I think sometimes that's what it takes too, is that step back. Take a step back from the game.
Mm-hmm.
Do some modeling, do some hobby parts of it, and think about ways that you can add to your game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really curious to see what you do to add to Dreadball.
I am too. Not gonna lie, but I won't. There was some inspiration out of that Dreadball novel.
Oh, very much so.
And. Both in the Dreadball space and the Dead Zone space. So I'm pretty stoked to experiment and get some new ideas out there and just kind of have fun.
Yeah, it's... Man, this is fun. I think the funnest part about tonight was after we finished the game, we were both excitedly talking about it, and all of a sudden it's like, no, stop! We gotta do the podcast!
We have to record this part. We don't want to lose anything. But no, it was a whole lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to coming up with a couple of other scenarios.
Yeah.
For those that are less familiar with things like Vanguard, that's actually a very campaign-driven book.
Yes.
Of scenarios. So much so that sometimes it's kind of tough to find tournament, really balanced ones. It is very heavily an attacker and defender type game.
And there's a couple more in there that we're looking at that we're going to try out.
Yeah.
But we have no shame. We're looking at all kinds of different games to try and give you guys some different ways to play.
And now I'm about to commit us to something
of
making the Dead Zone the podcast campaign.
Okay.
So
I'm down
that we compile all these campaigns and or like scenarios into one
with these scenarios and put them all into one campaign
contiguous and story.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Now, as far as writing a story behind it,
yeah, this will be great.
Yeah, you can write the story.
We're gonna contact Wien Hassar Publishing. Let's crowdsource this.
Crowdsourcing.
So if you have any Dead Zone maps that you're like, man, this would be a really cool scenario, but you just are a little unsure on how to put it together, hit us up. Shoot us a message. We're actually connected to the email account now. So, and you know, trying to
thanks, Rob.
Be a little bit more attentive on some of our communication, more directly to us.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you have an idea and hey, maybe you just want to chat with us about it and how to maybe make it into the official Dead Zone the podcast Zone, the campaign book. Campaign. Oh boy. Well, see, it works out because I have to build these packets for tournaments anyway. So
that's true.
I kind of have the template together. So
yeah,
I might even just turn it out. You know what? I'll put out the template so people can just put together their own thing. And it's like, here's the key.
There you go.
And just go crazy. Like,
have some fun with it.
Yeah. Have it be like, you know, your starting point is randomized and you drop a guy in every single cube. And if they happen to land in the same spot, they fight right away. Yeah.
Whoa. That could be fun. That would be kind of like one of those...
Coffins from the sky.
Yeah, but more like one of those battlefields where everybody's in the middle of the fight,
mm-hmm.
and somebody drops a bomb or some kind of explosion happens, and all of a sudden
everyone the starts scene scattered. Zooms in.
But the scene zooms in on this small quarters fight between the two factions, but it's just a small little core, and they're scattered everywhere.
So,
all I can think of is Michael, another friend of the show, when he's role-playing and how he describes the scene with that whole cinematography style.
Yeah, yeah.
Of how he
tells the story. We close in on the shot. Michael, if you ever want to be on the show.
Give us a shout!
To talk about... I keep hearing how awesome your GCPS team did.
Oh, they were... the same force I played you today.
Yeah, yeah.
He annihilated me with them.
I am intrigued because GCPS is another force I play because I like to play the team that is sometimes a struggle to win.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the underdog in the grand scheme of things, but they're kind of an overdog. But yeah. So like in that respect, we don't really have a unit highlight for today.
Nope.
Because we're kind of highlighting the scenario.
Yeah, and. You know, I think we'll definitely still do some unit highlights.
Yeah.
For you guys, because I know some people have reached out and said they really enjoy those.
Oh, that's good.
But there's also some people who have talked about really enjoying the team building exercise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, from what I understand from Rob and Jack, the actual team building
team
from them,
yeah.
from that team is done.
Yeah.
So it'd be
which is still great content. Like,
yeah, go back and listen to those.
Go back and
too.
Listen to it.
But maybe we can. Maybe there's some viewers that would like to talk about a list.
Mm-hmm.
We would be happy to do that as well. I think I want to. I'm looking forward to continuing into this whole new world with the podcast and everything. But I'd like to steal some ideas from Countercharge.
Oh, absolutely. and to kind of also highlight Star Saga content.
Yes.
Which we haven't done as much today. We are adjusting what our original plans were for our Star Saga campaign that we were running. So originally the goal was going to be record these episodes, chop them up into little like radio show kind of things. That proved to be a very daunting task, given the resources that we kind of have at our disposal, and time is kind of the biggest factor in all of that. So What we are going to be doing is we're going to continue through the campaign. And as we go, we are going to be basically doing a little campaign highlight on the scenario that or the mission that we played. And so we're going to be going back to our we've done two missions so far with our silly little characters.
Yep.
So we're going to... Those I've actually recorded the entire time we were playing, which is fun. So we're going to go back and listen to that, listen to ourselves talk about our Star Saga for
oh boy.
A couple hours. And we're going to put together just a little kind of bullet point summary and kind of share that. They'll probably be their own little episodes, or we can include them depending on how on their length.
Yeah.
We either spin them off or we incorporate them as a segment on the show. We're ultimately a big part of the next season for us is going to be more content.
Yeah.
So more than just the monthly.
More than the monthly, using some of the other outlets, like we talked about the YouTube channel potentially, and getting some more interviews from people, and just hopefully giving you guys, our listeners, more content that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it's more content we want.
yeah. And like to that point, if there is some content that you feel is missing, I know one of the first things that we even talked about was let's do an intro to Dead Zone.
Yeah. Yeah, and that popped up again on the Dead Zone Fanatic site. And of course Coach was right on top of it.
Oh yeah.
He told them to check out Family Gamer 777. Yeah. With the amount of videos that they have,
they got some great stuff.
You could learn how to play Dead Zone by watching a plethora of those.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual intro, this is the basics. This is how you play the game. I think it would be nice to do that with both Dead Zone and Dreadball.
Yeah.
So those would be fun to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we can figure out the whole YouTube thing and angles and dangles.
Well, I've got a camera.
Yay!
A webcam. So, if nothing else, this should be fun to watch. to quote one of my favorite movie lines ever.
All I can think about is, you know, the people like me watching it and like deciding every time Brian makes a reference to some movie, I'm gonna take a shot. You know how drunk I'd be?
Well, if you're just drinking Mountain Dew.
Well, as a diabetic, I can be pretty drunk. Well, I'm talking about going down a rabbit hole.
I think that's a great place. So hopefully we gave you a little bit of insight into... our
minds?
Hopefully not too much of an insight. You know, hopefully you guys have an idea of what to look forward to. Look forward to.
We're doing a campaign, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to do it. We're excited. It's whether or not they are excited for the content.
Yeah.
If they are looking forward to it, I certainly am.
Yeah.
And I know you are as well. This is such an exciting time, for these games, you know, a lot of people, I think, we're kind of just getting back into getting some games played with people. There's been some challenges that I think the community has really come together and overcome.
From the get-go, you know, I talked about that whole top five thing. I think my number one across the board is the community.
Mm-hmm. Spoilers from when he actually
records it. Yeah, right? But for myself, I mean, the community is the number one piece on this. I mean, all the love that there is on the Fanatic web pages, Facebook pages, and the other groups and local groups, like Shane's group down in Texas, our group here in Michigan, Family of Gamer 777, his Discord. There's a lot of just community and a serious joy for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And not that undertone hate for something. And I think that's been something that's been really needed. And the fact that it keeps going up,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what is going on around us,
mm-hmm.
I think is amazing.
Yeah, like even rules questions, I know Golden actually mentioned in his podcast too, is like there's a lot of discussion on rules, and of course, obviously, there's always the like, when's version 3 coming out? And you know, kind of balance stuff and compiling a new book and, you know, what may or may not be, you know, go into that. There's a lot of questions on rules and considerations, and it's been so civil. Of a discussion. It's never a "you're an idiot."
Yeah, you don't get a lot of that.
We really don't see that. And
I mean, we call ourselves idiots all the time when we're rolling our dice.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a completely different thing.
Yeah. And it is fun sometimes for like I'll have to step in when a new player comes in and is like, you know, why is this guy Rick really like laying into this guy Brian when he says "woo go Rebs"? It's like, seems kind of mean. It's like, no, it's okay. It's okay. We do this all the time.
Yeah, and then you have John Jack now with his elites every single time. Oh, you're killing me with this Rebs thing, man.
Oh, it's so much fun. But yeah, I think we're gonna put a little cap on this episode here. Thank you for listening to us ramble on for a little bit.
Ramble. It's what we do.
Yeah, we're gonna. I think the next couple will be a little bit more organized. This one, I think, was just coming right off that game.
Coming right off of the game.
Wanting to chat about it. And then it was like, oh, yeah, we should probably talk about the other things that we're going to do. So definitely looking forward to this next full year of the show. And hopefully you guys are, too. So thanks for giving us a listen.
All right. Thanks, guys.
So long.
You just said this game. No.
Yeah, we don't want to get copyright flags.
Yeah, no copyright flags.
But yeah, it's good stuff. All good stuff.
It's funny how, like, and I hear it in your voice because I know I can hear it in mine. How excited we get sometimes. It's like, oh my God, we're doing a podcast. We should be a little bit more professional.
My wife was telling me the other day, is like, you have a different voice. Because she heard the whole interview that we did. Well, she heard my part of the interview. I had headphones on. So she didn't hear what you guys were saying at all. And I don't think she'll ever listen to the episode.
Probably.
But she was saying, it's like, you've got like a different voice when you're talking on the radio. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. She's like, why don't you talk to me that way? And I'm like, ah!
Whoop. Yeah.